My name's Dr. Tom Headley. I'm a bit of a wetland doctor, if you like, sort of helping the wetlands and often doing a bit of surgery. And I spend my time creating wetlands for different purposes. I work for a company called Wetland and Ecological Treatment Systems, or WET Systems. We designed and supplied and installed, planted the floating wetlands. I guess briefly, what is a wetland as a bit of background? So wetlands occur in the catchment or the landscape where there's permanent water, or they're basically wet for at least part of the year, often covered with shallow water, but where you have vegetation growing that's adapted to those conditions. So the soil's usually waterlogged, got no oxygen, or it's anaerobic, and that means that there's certain types of plants that can only grow in those conditions, reeds, rushes and sedges and so on. That creates sort of fairly unique characteristics in that part of the landscape where the land meets the water. Wetlands are extremely important for things like biodiversity and habitat for wildlife, for fish breeding, and so then commercial implications for fisheries and so on. Recreation, very important for the traditional owners and first people of Australia and around the world for hunting. It's like a supermarket of resources for different things, and also cultural practices. Wetlands actually store and capture more carbon than rainforests and the forests of the world. So they're also very increasingly important from a climate change perspective and the carbon balance of society. But unfortunately, in the last 50 years, we've managed to destroy and lose about 40% of the world's wetlands. And the Birrarung or the Yarra River through the centre of Melbourne is a typical case of that, where, as you'll see as we walk through today, most of the riparian vegetation and what would have been naturally wetlands through areas like this are actually being turned into hard-edged rivers and waterways, and actually makes it very difficult to retrofit or bring back that sort of wetland and riparian vegetation and ecosystems into such a landscape. So that's where we come to things like the floating wetlands that we see today, which gives us an opportunity to create using floating structures that are then anchored to the river bottom or to the bottom of the, it's about 13 metres deep here, so it's actually anchored quite deep. And they can rise, go up and down with the tides, they can move around with waves and wind action, and they're also essentially not a permanent structure, so it's a bit of relatively light impact sort of infrastructure and a simple way to then bring nature back into these sort of urban environments. The main goal here is to provide then a habitat for wildlife and birds and fish underneath. So with a floating wetland like these, you see a lot of bird life, like we can see the ducks on there at the moment, which are obvious and visually easy to pick up. But there's usually just as much action and activity below the water surface, which we don't see so much of. The roots grow down through the floating structure and hang down up to a metre below the floating raft. Once the plants are all established, that actually gets covered in all sorts of biofilm and algae and other things, which then and provides a safe habitat and feeding ground for fish, crustaceans and other sea life. So they can become a real hotspot of sort of habitat and ecological values in an otherwise urban landscape. A little bit about the floating wetlands here. In this case, they're fabricated from it's a modular system. So underneath the mulch that you see there is actually a series of rectangular floating structures. Each one is about 1.2 metres wide by 3 metres in length, rectangular. We also have triangular shapes and different shapes to bolt together to create the overall shape that you see there. The structure itself is a high-density polyethylene sealed tubes, if you like, so it's got air trapped inside and engineered and designed to give just the right amount of buoyancy. And then we cover that. In this case, this is one of the types of designs we have with a kind of a mesh, and then we fill it with what you see here is a wood chip. It's actually recycled pallet chips and a mixture of mulch and scoria rock. So scoria is locally available. It's porous and relatively lightweight for a gravel or an aggregate and gives some sort of structure to the material. and then we plant the wetland plants into that structure. So the roots of the plants then can get direct access to the water below. It's almost like a sort of hydroponic type of growth setup. So they'll actually be taking nutrients directly out of the water, so they'll continue to grow and develop and actually become fairly well covered with vegetation growing from anything from a ground cover up to 1.2 meters high. And we've actually just recently taken, we had some temporary mesh fencing around the edge of the floating wetlands initially to actually minimize the amount of bird impact on the baby plants when we planted them, because otherwise ducks and other swans and things can very quickly get out and just pull up what we planted the day before. And then it's a real battle on our hands to get the vegetation established. Once the plants have a time to grow, get their roots sort of embedded into the media and into the water, then they can look after themselves a bit better. So yeah, that means that the bird life now has free access to the wetlands. What's interesting and been fun part about this project, because it's really been done for the, well, for you guys and the community, but also for the wildlife and the animals. So we've designed into it a whole range of different details. We just installed these rails here on the far side there, the two rails, which are actually a drying banister for birds like cormorants and so on. So they can actually perch there instead of on the boats or on the floating trash collection equipment in the river, and yeah, dry their wings and so on. In the middle there, you can see an open water section, which is actually there so that it's animals can actually swim under and gain access from the water in a fairly protected and sheltered way. You can see here, we've got this is a duck ramp on the front side here, this timber structure. So small ducks and floating birds can actually gain access up the little ramp, and especially important for ducklings and young birds. There was a couple of ducks when we were doing the installation. They were following us around and checking it out as we were doing the planting. The next day we came back and they'd figured out, found the ramp, found the way in, and they were inside and actually had a family with, I think, 7 ducklings that moved in almost the next day. What another interesting aspect of the project, this trial project, is the plant selection. So this site here in the Docklands has the highest salinity of the 3 sites. As we go up the river, obviously then we get more freshwater influence and lower salinity. The salinity here it's about half that of seawater. In general, plants don't like salt. It's not good for them, as it's not good for us. So that starts to, the higher the salinity, the less plants or species of plants we have available to work with. The palate shrinks down. But that's also an opportunity with a project like this. We've actually themed each site as we go from the more saline or brackish site here upstream, and the salinity gets lower and lower until we're almost fresh water up near the Turning Basin. This plant selection here is essentially what you would have found here naturally, you know, 150 years ago, but it's what we call a salt marsh community of plants or wetland. A lot of them are plants that they're fairly salt tolerant. They'll grow in the intertidal zone even, so they in some cases will get flooded twice a day at high tide with salty water or brackish water, and often occur where you find mangroves and things like that. Then as we go upstream, we basically get then a more coastal wetland selection of plants at the next site. So kind of somewhat salt tolerant, but also what you find, let's say, you know, along the coast of southeast Victoria. And then at the Turning Basin, further upstream, we've selected a palette of plant species there that represent a more inland wetland community. And the plants are key to the whole thing in a way, because they provide the, if without the plants, then you've just obviously got a fairly barren, open bit of mulched floating pontoon with not much protection for animals, no food as well. So the plants are important, but they also strike a balance between the wildlife that are using the floating wetlands and the vegetation that's trying to grow. And so part of the trial, and the purpose is to monitor and observe, and then we'll find that over time different could be climate conditions, weather might impact the plants, their wildlife usage, and that can change seasonally, change year by year. So next year we might get a different sort of population or type of bird life using an island, which will favour a different species of plants. But yeah, as things change and evolve over time, then we can let Mother Nature sort of help out and let the whole thing adapt and evolve without us having to try and then go and replant things all the time and control everything.